Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try to answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. It's good to have you with us. My name's Marcus. Chris and Sarah are here. Now, my darlings, a friend of mine was watching Britain's Got Talent the other night with his wife, and he was rather disgusted when she cried at the end of one of the performances. Now, I thought, there was in an age where we are apparently desensitized to so much we see on screen, whether that be on TV, YouTube, the cinema, all that kind of stuff, does anything on screen make you emotional?
So I've been thinking about this, and I actually can't remember the last time I cried at anything on screen at all. Mm-hmm. I really...
But you're hard as nails, though.
I am known for being incredibly hard.
Or as as one famous saying says, you have a dustbin for a heart.
You got me.
That's reference to one of Marcus's other sideshows.
It is a sideshow, as we now call it, yeah.
I actually... Films and television and things like that just actually does not make me emotional. I can appreciate it. Mm. I can, oh, this is very sad.
Yeah.
And I promise I do occasionally cry. Not often.
So nothing sets you off when you're watching TV or film?
Trying to rack my brains, I remember crying at a film a few years ago.
What was
Which
it?
One? Yeah, come on.
A Testament of Youth.
What's that?
Oh, it's like a war. It's a war. It's about, no, it's about the First World War.
Okay.
And basically...
What did you say?
Is it art housey? I was just like, I've not heard of this. This is going to be one of those weird films with no structure.
Basically,
is it some independent thing? Yeah. Do Hollywood know about this?
It's about the First World War.
Oh, right. You got my interest.
It's all true. And they all die.
Oh, well, I don't know what's that now, do I?
Spoiler alert. Well, I mean, First World War, spoiler alert.
But I'll have you know that 88%.
Sorry, listeners, you can.
88% of troops who were in the trenches survived, apparently.
Well, not in this film they didn't.
All right.
This is the other 12%.
It was beautiful. It was a lovely film, but it was harrowing. As in, like, you know, there's
also it can be
nicely shot and pretty people in it, and you know, it's all forth. You know. Yeah. But it was, you know, that got me. But I wouldn't. So there's not a lot else that would.
So it takes quite something. So we're saying a beautifully shot World War One tragic story you are keeping your emotional cards close to your chest, and you're only playing them when something that you would argue warrants it. And I would actually tend to agree with you, Sarah, there.
Also, you know what does help is if there's a really gorgeous orchestral soundtrack.
Mm.
But whereas, you know, I think that helps. But yeah, I think it would take a lot.
You ever seen Apocalypse Now?
No.
Or could set you off that beautiful song that goes with it.
Have you ever get emotional? I mean, in life, but also at TV.
Can I remember crying when Chris Waddle missed that penalty for England in the 1990 World Cup? But we're going into football here, and we don't want to.
You were 8 years old.
Let's stay really far out of that country, please.
Actually, you got emotional last summer. I know it's football related.
What was that?
No,
when we beat Colombia at penalties.
It's penalty shootouts for me.
I've got an amazing video.
I saw it.
Of you jumping on me, and I think you bit my cheek. You were so excited.
In the spirit of Mike Tyson.
I've never seen you react like that. It was amazing.
Did I bite you?
Not in an aggressive way. I think it
my
was,
wife's such a lucky woman.
Yeah.
Do you know what my
there
wife...
There was teeth involved. It wasn't nice.
Do I apologise? I don't know.
No, I loved it.
Good man.
My wife was there. It was fine.
My wife can get a little bit... But like, do you watch Modern Family? The American...
It's
comedy.
It's been highly recommended.
It's good. It's very good.
Everyone always says, "Oh, you must."
Great. It's lovely and very funny viewing. But often there are like quite sort of lightly, but it's done quite lightly, but it's quite touching moments of real genuine sort of love between characters and all that, because they're all family. And my wife just goes, oh, I love it. So like, it really, it almost inspires her to, you know, be a better person. I don't know, whatever. And yeah, she can get sort of slightly emotional through that. So it's not always like, you know, death in war like Sarah.
Like, I mean, so I'll tell you what. So I was speaking to my partner and he was saying that he, DIY SOS. That's what would set him off.
Well, I know a lot of people get set off by this.
Hang on, I don't know this show. So, I mean, I can pretty much, I can guess what it's about.
Is it, isn't it basically that they come in and someone deserving, they do up their house?
Yeah, it
for
could
them.
Be like a family or a couple or someone that's struggling.
Has mm-hmm. some hard times.
Right.
And so they sort of get them out of the house for the week and they do it all up really nicely. Oh, okay.
And I saw one once. I think the child of the family had disabilities, and so they completely revamped the house to be nice. Well set out and laid out for this whole family, and mm-hmm. literally transformed their life. Mm. And I think, is that probably the emotional connection? This has changed their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand. Why that, and that would be that sort of, you know, you're moved by it, but it still wouldn't get me.
But you're you need some sort of horrific death.
Little cold heart Harris.
But do you think that so true? Or reality TV, because it's obviously real life.
Like, have you ever seen? I cry at how embarrassing Big Brother is that it's still going.
Okay, not
is
all
it
reality.
Still going? Or is it just morphed into Love Island?
Or maybe they finally decided to pull the plug, but it certainly went on longer than it should have done.
I've never watched Love Island. I think that would make me cry about just the state of things. Do you know what I mean? Watching that, just going, oh, really?
Is this? I don't know. I haven't watched it myself, but I know some people really do love it.
Chris likes it.
My wife very rarely judges me until she found out recently I'd had it on in the background. But I think because I wanted to know what the fuss was about. It's like always in the news. People talk about it.
Is there a fuss?
It's weirdly like addictive because you kind of want to see what happens even though you know what happens and it's just nonsense.
Also, it does kind of shine a spotlight on sort of the things that go on in relationships and dating, you know, albeit is it really real? Yeah, I mean,
do you know what, right? Yeah,
exactly. But it is. It's weirdly like, I know, it's like watching WWE wrestling. You know, is it's it? Not really real, but you kind of, well, I used
watching
to
it for the bodies,
anyway.
Are you? Yeah, exactly. Is that what this is?
it's the curve.
Yeah, reality TV is an interesting one because, as you say, it could be real life and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So that, I suppose that's a little bit different. I mean, if you see so often videos doing the rounds on like Facebook and YouTube, stuff like that, if you ever see like a video, like did you see the one? I don't know if it was from a show, actually. I can't remember what it was from, but it was children who were deaf.
Oh yeah.
And they were getting those
hearing aid implants.
And they were hearing for the first time, and their reactions and everyone's reactions,
those are lovely.
I mean, come on, you have to be
they're very moving.
You may not have tears coming out of your eyes, Sarah, but surely it evokes some kind of emotional response.
Let the record state, yes. I have feelings. I'm not a complete robot, but I just don't show them outwardly.
Do you cry in life anyway?
No, not a lot.
Right,
not a lot.
So it's all
occasionally, yeah.
I don't cry a lot, I don't think,
but
unless it's penalty shootouts, I'm okay, I think.
Although that kind of makes sense to me, because that's sort of tension and then some sort of release, whether that's good or bad, we did it or whatever.
Yeah, but 22 years of sporting pain is gone in a moment.
Exactly.
So there is this rush. I mean, the video I've got, I'll show you one day, Sarah, it's hilarious. The whole place just erupts. I mean, we saw it last summer.
We'll post on Twitter. We won't.
Maybe. I don't know.
What did your wife describe me as? Like a piece of popcorn that was waiting?
I've never seen Marcus. He looked like a jacket potato in a microwave ready to pop. He just blew up.
She should go into writing.
And yeah, my goodness, did I blow up.
You did. It was a beautiful sight.
What a summer it was. I do remember getting emotional when Kelly broke up with Zach in Saved by the Bell. Sarah, you getting
sorry,
that?
That's
Sarah,
that's a bit before too my young. Time. Too sorry. Young. Exactly. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Do you not heard of Saved by the Bell?
No, I'm aware of it, but it just wasn't for me.
No. It was for everybody.
I mean, I was probably about four. So
well, anyway.
No, I don't think it was. So it was.
Yeah. Well, that was an early one for me. Some shows are naturally going to promote emotion a bit more. Your hospital dramas are obvious ones. ER, mm-hmm. Grey's Anatomy, Scrubs.
I think if maybe not the latter. If I have cried, it may have been. I used to really like Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah,
because there was always a good soundtrack. I think maybe that's what it needs. It's got to have a really good soundtrack. Got to have a really emotion.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah, for me. It's either sort of swelling orchestral.
Do you think it's daft though if people cry at fiction?
No, No, because you can still feel those things. And, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's, you know, heartbreak or, mm-hmm. you know, grief, whatever. I think you can still feel it. But
yeah,
again, for me, because I think probably because my bar is so high. you know what? I did almost cry. And I know I probably bored you guys absolutely sick tears. With this. The end of Fleabag. I know you're watching it, so I won't read it.
No, I won't read it for anyone.
Okay. But that, but you, it was, again, it was...
Careful.
I'm just going to say, no, I promise you
don't spoil it. You're
dangerously close to spoilers here.
There was a beautiful soundtrack, mm-hmm. and it was poignant. And
even the music.
It didn't make me cry, but I almost. There's a little prickle behind
the
eyes.
You could feel the lump in your throat.
Yeah, just ever so slight lip wobble.
To be fair, though, the question was, what makes you emotional? And so far, we are kind of focusing more on crying and whatnot.
I've cried a few times.
Have you?
The most embarrassing one...
Tough guy.
...was watching the live-action Cinderella.
Oh, yeah.
And it was at the end.
Do go
on. I don't know why, but she said to the evil stepmother... This is ridiculous. I forgive you.
Really?
And it was just in that moment, I was just like, all these thoughts of like, she maintained who she was even in the face of being bullied and being taken down a peg all the time, and she still had the grace to forgive this person who just tried to destroy her life. And I was like, that's amazing.
So profound.
I was just like, wow, she is something
and
else.
Were there actual tears?
Yeah, because my wife noticed and laughed. I mean, and I actually laughed. I mean... Yeah, maybe I just had a bad night's sleep.
Do you know what, though?
But I was really like, I just, this thing in my mind about...
You're a bit hungover, were you?
No, I just thought, wow, like, what a powerful story about, you know, people trying to take you down in life, but you can still be who you want to be, or you still be you. You don't need to change.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, it's a bit deep for me, but... Yeah.
Go on then, what were the other ones? That was a good one.
The one that I lost it for about an hour after was actually really sad. It's Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I don't know that.
It absolutely wrecked me. It's quite an old film, so this I'll spoiler it, but it's just this
how
story.
How old is it?
It's got to be a decade.
Yeah, about that, I think.
Oh, God,
yeah.
When you say an old film, I'm thinking 70s or something.
No.
You're thinking 2009.
It's not in cinemas now.
It's a bit like a normal teenage coming of age film. But
who's in it?
There's kind of a slight under Emma Watson.
Okay.
There's this undertone. And then,
I'd remember the one. I didn't.
And then at the end, you find out the boy'd been abused, and it just ruined me. Yeah.
Like, it's harrowing.
Yeah, I mean, like, my mum and dad foster kids, so I'm attached to children's pain in a different way. So for me, I was an absolute mess afterwards, and my wife was just like, I think you need a drink. It's just like, I couldn't stop crying for so long.
That's mad.
This is like a year ago. It's not that long ago.
Blimey.
But I mean, that's a bit more serious, but it was fiction, I think. And it just got me. I think things will get me.
Yeah. There's a film which annoyingly I can't remember the name of, but it's a Matt Damon film. It's years ago. He's a lawyer.
And he's an actor.
There lies the genius.
And a puppet.
He made me think he was a lawyer, and they just happened to be filming at the time. No, he plays a lawyer in this film, and he's trying to... he's going after... It's this big company who their actions essentially have caused this young lad to have a terminal illness. And they didn't pay out the insurance. It was an insurance company, and they should have paid out the insurance, and they didn't. But tried to get him on a technicality, blah, blah, blah. And Matt Damon's the lawyer who's trying to kind of take them down. And there's a scene in the film after, you know, the lad dies, and the guys, the young lad, that's not a spoiler at all, the young lad's father just becomes like a recluse and an alcoholic, and he barely says a word in the film, that kind of thing. And in the courtroom, when this trial is going on, he stands up, this old boy who basically has just shown hardly any emotion throughout the film because obviously struggling for the premature death of his son. And he stands up with a really lovely picture of his son, and he starts getting emotional, and he just shows this picture to the jury as if to say, look, this is my son. They, you know, they've screwed
about
a
real person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that actually, that got me for some reason. It's odd because you watch films of all sorts. I don't know why. Forgive me for not remembering the name of the film. But it is odd, as it kind of catches you out sometimes, these things. But as I said, though, emotion is not all negative. What gets you going?
As in, like, other emotions, like anger or...
Anger or joy or excitement? Because I think
I think the my wife was watching America's Got Talent.
Okay.
And she doesn't cry at anything. Uh-huh. But she would say she finds that very moving. I think maybe it could be the individual stories. Obviously, they try and pull on the heartstrings.
Of course they do.
But
yeah.
Just she really values people following their passion and doing it as best they can. So for her,
yeah.
Whether it's a trapeze artist uh-huh. or there was a brilliant one on there, this guy who he basically become, what's it called when you can't leave your house? Agoraphobic.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And he'd been like that. So he made himself learn to do comedy and he hadn't left his house for so long. Okay. So he got on the stage and the truth is he wasn't brilliant, but she was just moved by, I guess, his courage. Like this bloke, I know, it's a story, isn't it? And
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Have you ever heard of the comedian Mitch Hedberg?
No.
He's sadly dead now, but he was an American comedian years ago. He used to do one line. He was really funny. Apparently he was so nervous and yet you wouldn't know it. He was such a pro, like massive arenas. You're very famous. And he would often wear, I don't know whether he wore glasses, but he would always wear dark glasses on stage because he'd often have his eyes closed.
Oh, wow.
And his hand, you can see his hand like moving around a bit with the microphone, doing a bit of an Ian Brown for those who are like the Stone Roses. But actually, it was nerves.
Wow.
He was sort of shaking.
Yeah.
But you would have no idea.
But what courage to be like that and still get up and talk.
And mate,
I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I find that incredible. I mean, he was hilarious. I used to do drugs. I mean, I still do, but I used to as well. You know, like, stuff like that.
That's very your...
I've a plethora of, when it comes to that. But yeah, I think that people who... So with things like Britain's Got Talent, or America's Got Talent, fill in the blank, or whichever country you're from, people overcoming great obstacles to perform is something that gets us going. But I think sometimes people's excellence can just reduce you people can cry. Ooh. People can also like just kind of punch the air in celebration.
I've thought of something.
Yes,
I've thought of something.
What have you
not crying, but like that actually makes me feel. This is so embarrassing.
Go on.
More embarrassing than crying at Cinderella as a full grown man.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
So, the Eurovision song. So I'm not even into Eurovision. This is not what it is.
What are
but
you doing?
1 year, this is like, I may have even been before I was born, to be honest. Certainly, it was either the 80s or the 90s, which gives you a clue as to
You weren't born in the year 2000.
I was born in 91.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it may have been before that, I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, so Ireland were hosting.
Yeah.
And in the break, they get Riverdance on.
Mm-hmm.
And there is just something about that performance.
Yeah, it's rubbish, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Really?
These like scores of them and they're just, the music is incredible.
It's the
and
music
they're,
again.
They're just at the peak of their performance and the crowd goes absolutely wild for them. And even now I can watch it. I sometimes, if I'm having a bad day, I might go and find it on YouTube.
Really?
Because it makes me feel just like exhilarated.
Really?
Okay, honestly, like I'm going to share this. I'm going to share this on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
And you guys can watch it for yourselves.
Yeah,
and see if it moves us.
Honestly, I promise you. And also it helps that Terry Wogan was still presenting. That just even lifts it even further. Yeah. But yeah.
Have you ever seen Sister Act 2?
Oh,
many times.
Oh, damn what right. a work of art.
Damn right you have. The bit when the young lad suddenly realised his potential.
Yes.
Yeah,
when he sings.
Yes.
So they're singing in the classroom. So when they all go into it, they're singing Oh Happy Day.
Yes.
When Jesus washed my sins away.
Oh, and he starts and he's really quiet.
He does. And then he goes off on one. And then that moment where he goes, when Jesus washed. And then when he sings washed, he goes, wah! Like it really. That is... That's the finest moment in cinematic history.
That, you know, you're absolutely right.
But that gets you... It didn't make me sort of cry, but it brings you out of yourself.
It's the overcoming adversity to actually be brilliant.
Yes.
There's just something about that.
Have you ever watched things to get you pumped for something? So like last night I was going to play football and so I watched loads of old football videos that would get me really...
Oh, yeah.
Like the famous England match where we were terrible and we were losing to Greece and Beckham ran at every... every blade of grass and then scores in the last minute. And it just makes me like, come on, we can do this. Have you had anything that hypes you? Have you ever watched anything like that encourages you?
Again, I feel like this is a bit of a theme for me, but it would be I'd listen to music instead.
Would you?
I'd listen to something really kind of...
rousing.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just, you know, Welsh Male Voice Choir probably.
Yeah.
That moves me.
Does it really?
Am I just a grandmother?
Could be, yeah. Do you get moved? So if you watch like a box set or... any kind of series which you really have to invest a bit of time in, Would you get upset if certain characters are killed off, or they do something great, that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, I'd get upset, but unless it was under those very specific situations that I set out earlier, they're probably not.
Needs to
cry,
have good music.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I'm a big Game of Thrones fan,
right.
And there's certain characters that mm-hmm. get killed off in there. I wouldn't say I was emotionally upset by it, but it definitely made me feel gutted, like absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
That this person had gone, and I'd still say I haven't felt safe in life since Ned Stark died in season one.
Because you don't know who to trust.
It's just this kind of father figure, and he's honourable and stuff. And since then, the world has gone to pot.
Sean Bean, come on, you should have known. He doesn't survive anything.
Okay, what are you doing?
Sorry.
Sarah.
It's a well-known thing, though.
All right, true enough.
I'm sure he survives many of them, but he has a thing with early deaths.
I think Sean Bean's one of my favourite actors.
He's very good.
Yeah. I can't think of many things he's in, and I don't really like it.
Yeah. James Bond, Goldeneye. Psychologists call these types of relationship we have with fictional characters parasocial or one-directional. I said one direction, Sarah. Calm down.
Emotional music.
But, exactly. But how about this, right? So researchers from the University of Oklahoma don't know anything about the University of Oklahoma, but I assume it's a beacon of academia.
Sure,
they claim that watching TV dramas can boost your emotional intelligence.
By creating empathetic attachments to characters.
Some people don't realize emotional intelligence is a thing, but it very much is. But yeah, they discovered this. They picked two shows because they received awards, so Mad Men and Boston Legal, and got 100 men and women from a wide social spectrum. One half of the group watched either Mad Men or The West Wing. Sorry, it was not Boston Legal. So Mad Men, a fictional series about the advertising industry in the 1960s in America. I'm sure most people mm-hmm. know Mad Men, and West Wing is a fictional series about US politics. The results were quite interesting. They were given a theory of mind test, which measures a person's awareness of and ability to interpret the mental states and emotions of others. And this involved looking at images of eyes and matching them with the correct emotion the person was experiencing, such as pleasure, envy, or panic. And those who watched the dramas performed significantly better than those who watched documentaries.
That is interesting.
Yeah, so without knowing what the people in the story are thinking, it's difficult, if not impossible, to follow the plot. That's where that comes from. So I found that quite interesting, really. So sometimes when you think you're watching fictional shows, you might be mind-numbing on all the rest of it. But clearly, on that emotional intelligence level, there is something to be said for it.
What's to be said for the fact that I quite like zombie programs? I mean, I don't think I can empathise with that.
I need to delve into...
All those poor zombies.
I need to find out what the University of Oklahoma have got to say
on
that.
We should get
I've been to Oklahoma, quite oddly, but there we are. That's a different story. I never went to the university. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think that it is interesting because, like I say, often we think of people being desensitised and blah, blah, blah. My guess would be, and this is only a guess, unless time travel was available, that people watching TV in decades gone by...
Yes,
I would say would cry less. You could argue that we're maybe more an emotional society, but again, that's a different kind of chat. But I think TV can be that good, and people are yearning for something real in amongst all this kind of stuff.
And also kind of even just like, you know, Chris, you saying, you know, yeah, I cried at Cinderella. Like, I do think we're also better at, like you said, mm-hmm. letting our emotions out a bit and, you know, not being ashamed of that kind of thing, which maybe in the past, you know, especially men might have thought, no, can't show emotion.
You can't possibly admit to being...
You know, we've all grown up in Britain, you know, with stiff upper lip, that kind of thing. Mm. But I think we are slowly getting better at being like, no, it's okay to cry, even if I...
It's okay to, I can't remember. I heard.
It's okay to cry at Love Island.
Yeah.
Is it some things are not okay, by the way? A group of us, for some reason or other, a group of us lads, years ago, back in the day, went to see the film Pearl Harbor.
And was an emotional one, wasn't it?
Was it?
It was terrible.
It
had Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett. So whatever, I was like a teenager watching it.
About six of us lads went. And when was it out? About 2000? We would have been in our late teens. And blokes in their late teens, generally speaking, and not wanting to cry at soppy films in front of their mates. And one of our lads was in floods of tears.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Like, good on him.
No, not good on him.
Marcus!
No, because it's Pearl Harbor. That's piss poor.
Yeah. And, like, I can't remember who, but someone fit dies. That's tragic.
Oh, there you
tragic.
Go.
Tragic.
You were going to say something, Chris, perhaps a little bit more profound than that.
I
remember some commentator has said about how the outpouring of grief at Princess Diana's death was actually a turning point in the emotional nation. The nation had never done that before.
Yeah.
And actually, when that had happened, I remember like every TV channel was like, turn on the news now, like all those sort of ribbons going along the bottom of it. And just the British outpouring of grief. And as Brits, you know, the whole stiff upper lip, you know, we carry on. Mm. That was disbanded with. Actually, people were publicly grieving.
People were standing in the streets, crying and throwing flowers at
It's a significant change in how we are publicly emotional, I think.
True.
I mean, I wish I'd read more on this, but I just remember in my mind someone saying that was quite a significant moment for us.
Do you know, it's interesting watching something like Gogglebox, because that's the study, isn't it? Mm. You're literally watching television.
Yeah.
I know that if
you've
not... I know that sounds...
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Well, I know that sounds horrifically boring if you haven't seen that show.
Yeah, whoever pitched that, I would love to have been in that meeting where they were like, hear me out, hear me out. But honestly, it is, it's great.
But that really is, you know, you can do your own study.
Yeah.
Watching Gogglebox, because you know, different people in different sections and areas of society and their different emotions and whatnot watching certain things. That is, I find Gogglebox quite an interesting one to watch.
The interesting thing with that is, there's a new dance show on BBC with Cheryl Cole and
people
like that. And actually,
about time.
What I've noticed is that they highlight, they focus in on the audience's reactions an awful lot.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And actually, so they do it, and you can hear the audience discussion as well on the TV shows, Britain's Got Talent, and all those things. You can hear the roar of the crowd, but not actually their conversation. But on this new one, you can see them honing in on the conversation, which I find really interesting that they've gone. That is interesting to an audience now, is to watch the audience again. Mm. So,
yeah.
There you are. Well, of course, if you want to get involved, do email us, show at aqqapod.com, because we'd love to know what your thoughts and comments are on these questions that we asked. Or indeed, if you want to pitch us a question that's been bugging you or is something that you feel quite passionate about, then do email us, as we say, or follow us on Twitter. You can get your questions in on Twitter at AQQAPod.
And do make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And do leave us a review if you loved the show.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. Chris, thank you, my good man.
Thank you,
Sam. A pleasure as always.
Always.
We'll see you next week, good people.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.